guys. This is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. Hey, guys. This episode, Wyatt and I are trying to... Oh, by the way, welcome back, Wyatt. The past couple episodes, we haven't had you because you decided to go get married to the wonderful bride, Ariana. So, again, congratulations,
Thank
dude.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful wedding, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
No, I enjoyed it. It was personal. It was sweet. It was beautiful, dude. And I really liked the scenery. Got great family. Got to meet some of them.
Yeah.
Got recognized at your wedding as the taste master, so that was kind of cool. But yeah. Besides that, it was good to see some friends there. And congratulations, man.
I mean, thanks, man.
I'm proud of you, dude.
Thanks, bro.
We'll start off on that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was cool. We'll see how married life goes.
People say, and I think this is true, but the first year of marriage was the hardest because, and granted, you've been living with your now wife for a while, but getting to know each other, like living with another human being, it's like living with a roommate, but a very close roommate, right?
Yeah.
And so that first year, the whole opinion and I were kind of colliding here and there because you didn't get how you did things and I did things, and we're trying to mesh it together to make. And now Jalapeno and I have the Jimenez way, right? Like our way.
Yeah.
But it took time to like mesh that together. But you'll figure it out, dude. And there's so many people that, and I saw it that day on your wedding, but so many people are there to support and love you. So
yeah, we were surprised at how many people showed up. Honestly,
dude, people love you. Anyway, well, I have something special for you. It's called the Uinta Pina Colada Milkshake Pale Ale. Saw this when they first released it back in July, and it kind of blew me back. I go, pina colada milkshake pale ale? What the fuck makes it a milkshake? And I just didn't.
That was my first question.
Yeah, I didn't know. So do you know? Are you familiar with how they make a milkshake or why they make it a milkshake?
Well, I mean, like, I could tell you what makes a regular milkshake a milkshake.
So in the pale ale, when they quote unquote milkshake, it's basically when they use lactose to ferment the yeast.
Gotcha.
So that was, makes it a milkshake style.
Yeah.
And this one I'm kind of excited for because you say you can't really pick up on mango flavoring, right? Yeah. We talked about that.
Dude, so I've been working on that.
Tell them how it goes. How's it going?
Our honeymoon, like the very first thing we did was stopped at a grocery store and bought like 3 mangoes.
Fresh mangoes,
I was like, I'm gonna taste the damn mango if it kills me.
Dude.
So like,
did you enjoy them?
Oh, I loved them. They were so delicious. And like since then, I've been eating a ton of mangoes.
Yeah. So Holly loves the dried mangoes. So like air fry them or whatever, and just dry them, and like they're a great snack, dude.
Dude, it was super good.
Good, hell yeah.
It might be my favorite stone fruit now.
So you can now pick out mango if I put a mango beer in front of you.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know, man.
So this one has pineapple in it.
I can definitely taste pineapple.
So I love pineapple. Pineapple is one of my favorite go-tos. Aaron actually made a kombucha with pineapple, which I didn't think about ever. Because how you and I make kombucha?
Yeah.
And she gave it to me the other day, and it was so good. Like, the tartness of the kombucha and the pineapple were almost gone, and it was just the sweetness of the pineapple, and it was beautiful. So this one I'm excited for because it has that pineapple. And I'm a sucker for vanilla. Holly and actually Cody, Aaron, Mike, and I went and hiked to Ponderosa Pines up in Payson Canyon.
Yeah.
And if you ever smell a Ponderosa pine, you go up in between the bark and it smells like fucking vanilla.
Okay.
So if you ever get a chance, if anyone out there, Ponderosa Pines, just put your nose in it and you will smell vanilla. It's weird, dude.
I never got vanilla from them, but.
What'd you get?
A lot of citrus.
Citrus?
It was really citrusy to me. Yeah.
So that's, I get citrus if you do like a spruce tree, but for some reason the Ponderosa pine.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's beautiful, like subtle vanilla. So I'm a sucker for vanilla.
I guess, I don't know about the bark. Like I've never gone up, I always smell the needles.
No, the bark.
But I've never gone up and like really put my nose in the bark.
If you get a chance, let me know how that goes.
That could be a euphemism for something. Put its nose in the bark.
yeah, it could be. But again, this one came out in July. This one, the reason why this one's fancy and I want to talk about this one is it was brewed with experimental hop HBC 692. And basically this hop is a joint venture between the Yakima Chief ranches, which we're familiar with, and the John I. Haas. Basically, they did a citrus, you know, it was Sabro and Patho. They kind of put the hops together to make this kind of a citrus hop crossover. And they're calling it the experimental hops because they don't know if it's great or not, or if it's awesome. They've been using it in Helles's cream ales and pale ales.
Is you went to one of the first breweries to use this hop?
I don't know that one for sure. All I know is they're the first ones I know that have said to the world that they're using this hop. Because I mean, it is a brown new hop. It is different. But yeah, I mean, it's got that grapefruit. It says that it has a grapefruit, floral, stone fruit, potpourri, woody, cream, pine, and resinous notes. So, I mean, that's a lot of everything going on.
A lot of stuff going on.
Right. And so, you know, we're familiar with the grapefruit. We're familiar with the pine. But yeah. Cream and stone fruit, I mean, like, with this one supposedly is really hoppy, so I'm curious to know what's going on here.
I'm still curious about the lactose in a beer. When they add lactose, because lactose is just like milk sugar, right?
Yeah.
So when they add lactose to a beer, they add it pre-fermentation and allow the sugar in the milk to ferment.
And the fermentation process is what you're talking about.
Yeah, so like they add it pre-fermentation. I always thought they added it post-fermentation just to add body, but I've never done anything with lactose aside from drinking milk.
Because I know lactose, you know, a lot of them, Shades Brewing doing a lot of lactose in it. I'm not sure when they do it, but I know they add it to ferment the yeast. So I don't know what part, we'll have to do some research on that. I don't know what point of the, if they do it during the kettle boil, if they do it during the war, I don't know. It'd be nice to figure out like lactose in beers and just kind of talk about that. It's basically from my quick gathering here is residual sugars are those left in the beer after the yeast has completely fermented. Because lactose is unfermentable by brewer's yeast, lactose added to a beer makes the final product sweeter, fuller, and creamier.
Gotcha. Okay. So it doesn't really matter when you add it because it's not going to ferment anyway.
That's what it's saying, yeah. So it says, for more than a century, lactose found its way into very few beer styles beyond sweet stouts. Nice. So that's why you get the quote-unquote classic milk stout.
Yeah.
That's right.
And now we're getting into milkshake beers.
ALLs. I mean, yeah. I know Strap Tank came out with a hazy, had lactose in it, and they had
a few lactose beers.
Right, and and it gives it that creaminess vibe to it. And I know Shades is really good at doing it, and, you know, it's... It is what I mean. Just lactose. It's good. I like lactose in beer personally. It's like me drinking coffee, but with a little bit of cream. I like a splash of cream in my coffee sometimes. I like my black typically, but like a splash of cream. So like a splash of cream in a way in my beer. I won't say no. Typically,
yeah. Have you ever had when I was a kid, we would always go to like these shave ice shacks.
Oh yeah.
And you can request that they put a little bit of ice cream in the bottom.
Oh, and I had condensed milk they put on top of it. I never had ice cream. Really? I wish ice cream, yeah.
Yeah, the one, like the big red ones with like the original ones that we saw in Utah.
Mm.
Big red ones with like the Hawaiian leaves. I don't know what those flowers are, but those, they would always, my mom would always do it and I thought it was super gross. They've got like little things of ice cream that they'll put in the bottom.
Make it a little creamy.
When you get to the bottom, you've got like this creamy ice cream, but I'm like,
you don't put ice shavings on top of ice cream. It's kind of weird. I get where you're coming at. Yeah.
You're putting ice, like sugar ice, on top of ice
cream. Yeah.
That's weird, I thought. Yeah. But my mom loved it, and it was super popular. I worked in one for like a couple of months of a summer when I was a kid.
Oh, cool.
And a ton of people would get it all the time. It was super popular. So I wonder if it's like a similar thing, like adding like a sweet kind of creamy texture to something that's already going to be, in this case, a little bit fruity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's open on up. See, that's the only way we're going to find out, right?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of milk stouts because, you know, it's like, to me, it's like a milk stout is similar to drinking like a cappuccino. Like I drink like black coffee, but I love cappuccinos. Like espresso with that like steamed milk. I don't know what it is. Talking about it, I'm gonna go get a cappuccino now after this. But I wonder if it's like a similar Like, that's how milk stouts are to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just fruit added in there is weird, I think, but.
So this one, they showed us IBUs 25, SRM 4, 7% ABV. I did not think it was going to be a high percentage beer. Wow.
7%. That is, they're not messing around.
No. They went, if we're going to make a fun beer, we're going to make it potent.
Dude, I wonder if.
Ooh.
Like, they have to balance the lactose with the sweetness of the lactose with, like, alcohol percentage, maybe? Like, most beers that I've seen that have lactose added to them are, like, minimum of 5%.
Right. Do you think it has to do with the alcohol content?
Like, maybe lactose in a lower ABV beer doesn't taste as good? I don't know. I'm just speculating here. This is something to ask experts.
Right. And, I mean, again, I'm writing these down so we can ask these questions.
We're going to have to get Marcio back in here.
Absolutely. That'd be nice to – we got to get more brewmasters in here, which we will.
Yeah.
It's just as COVID's kind of throwing a curveball for us to interview people.
Right. It's hard talking to a microphone with a mask on.
It really is.
Luckily, we're 6 feet away from each other.
We are. And on the nose on this one, hella pineapple, and I love that.
Yeah.
It smells like a pineapple, like pineapple juice. I haven't tried it yet. You got it? You tried it yet? Why?
Yeah, I gave a quick little sip.
Yeah, hoppier than I thought.
I'm not against it. I like it. And a lot of sweetness in there.
A lot of sweetness, yeah.
Like a lot of hop and a lot of sweetness.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Not bad, actually. I'm enjoying this. The very front of your palate, it just lights you up with hop, but then it's like creamy finish almost in a roundabout way.
Yeah, so I get a lot of like sweetness to start, and it's like a pineapple sweetness. Like when you cut into a pineapple, like the pineapple near the core that's like super juicy and just so sweet. Like that's the best pineapple pieces, right?
Right.
It's like that, and then the bitterness comes in. And for me, the creamy texture is there, but then it just kind of finishes with like a lingering bitterness.
Yeah, that hop. And I think that hop's nice. They say vanilla. I don't get vanilla technically on that.
I don't really get any colada either. Just pina.
But this is it's a cool style, like pale ales. Because pale ales are typically like, I feel like everyone can make a pale ale. And pale ales are, this is a good take. We were talking about going back to basic pale ales. This is a good take on a different pale ale.
Yeah.
Because we already know that you went to can fucking make a pale ale. You got the cutthroat.
Oh, my God.
Which I guess isn't a pale ale. It's a bitters. But, I mean.
I don't know. It says pale ale on the bottle.
It says pale ale. And there's a English pale ale, which is the bitter. Which, I mean, come on now.
Okay, but.
You being that specific.
There's like three types of bitters. The ordinary, the extra, and like the special, I think. Mm-hmm. The special might not be that. Right. There's three types of bitters. Pale ale, an English pale ale is a separate thing from those.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not the same. Like those are, there are three types of bitters and then a million types of pale ales. But like the English pale ale is different from the bitters.
Yeah.
It's usually more bitter.
So I've been doing research on the pale ale from this book I have been reading. It's called How to Brew by John Palmer. And in the pale ale, it said that every country and every region basically has their own pale ale. And it's been, they said that true pale ales were invented about 500 years ago. And it was with the use of coke, clean burning derived of coal for kilning. So basically they're saying that in here, a traditional pale ale has a hoppiness to it, but finishes with a malty character. And so he goes on saying that pale is a relative term for the original mint. It is a relative term, and it originally meant pale as compared to dark. Most early malts and beers were darker due to the typical wood fire kilning technology of the previous millennia. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So once I read that, basically, everyone's pale base malt is the same, but how they were cooking it would give that darkness to it, and the pale was literally the color coming off of what, technology has advanced since beer started to become a thing, I guess, right? Like a known thing.
I would love to try some of those wood fire kilned malts.
So basically, I was telling you about that this show I'm watching or movie I watched is basically a kind of documentary. This individual is going through the Cicerone class, yeah. And this guy, he I don't know where he's from. I think Tennessee, and he calls himself the chef. And the chef goes, and he basically pairs all his food. It's kind of like what Grid City's doing. They pair all their food with the beer they brew. Period. And like they just go off pairings, and he went to go find like old traditional styles of beers, and he went to like one of those, what do you call it when people dress up like colonial people and
like they get reenactors?
Like, kind of like got they yeah, get yeah. hell into it, and you can go to like old Plymouth Rock
yeah.
people, you know, like that kind of. So he went to some guy who would make an original recipe back in colonial times from like a wood burning, and like put I watched him throw like sage in there or whatever, pine in there, and resin from the tree in the backyard or whatever.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, holy shit, this is different. It was good, you know, and I would love to, like, you and I should go and to a reenactment, like,
yeah,
kind of pioneery, whatever.
They, we're recording this over Labor Day weekend.
Uh-huh.
Fort Bridger, Wyoming has a whole, like, reenactment, like, gathering over this weekend every year.
So you're saying,
where people go and dress up and, like, pitch right. canvas tents and
right.
do what, like, dress up like. I always thought, so my stepmom's family is super, super into this. My old stepmom.
Gotcha.
One of my dad's previous wives, who is not my mother, it was real. Her family was super into this. And they would go to Fort Bridger every year and dress up with, like, canvas breeches and the canvas shirt and, like,
yeah,
George Washington hats and maybe even fake wood teeth. I don't know. And dress up and stay, like, 5 or 6 days. Like camp in a canvas tent, and they're super into it. And I always thought it was weird they dress up like colonials in Fort Bridger. Like, wouldn't you be wearing like fur trapper skins and shit? Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? But whatever, I'm not gonna question.
Yeah,
the whole thing is honestly, it was cool. There was a lot of cool stuff going on there. There's like musket shooting competitions.
You don't see that anymore. That's
tomahawk
cool.
Tomahawk throwing stuff. It was super cool. People smoking meat on fires. Yeah. I never saw
making mead.
I never saw any meat, I never saw any beer, I never saw any wine. There's a bar down the street that I saw.
Okay.
But it would be interesting to go and check some of those out.
Yeah. Because
they do them all, like a bunch of them throughout the year. Even in Utah, there's a few. I think there's, like, Saratoga Springs has one. God, I want to say earlier in the summer.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, dude, we should check some of them out and see if we can find some cool beer stuff.
I'm saying those kind of reenactments are those kind of individuals who put that show on, you know, they have like they've done their research and their history, and they're like,
yeah,
to the roots. And so I bet we can find some cool badass stuff.
Yeah, they put the people. There's like craftsmen who go to those.
Yeah, so
and they put a lot of effort in to make sure.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, some of them are kind of kitschy, but some of them put a lot of effort in to make sure they're like period correct.
Yeah, and that's I respect that. I mean, as long as you don't push that on me, I respect it. You know, and I love that. And same thing is like. I'll sit here and talk beer. Like Holly and I went to a wedding last night, and people were asking me like, "Hey, you know, I want to talk beer with you." And I'm like, "I'll talk beer." Like, just because, I guess they took it just because they like a certain style doesn't mean I have to or they have to, vice versa.
Yeah,
it's like let's just talk about it, and then we got talking about coffee and how like the coffee bean. My buddy's like, "You have to do organic coffee." And I'm like, "Why? What's the difference between organic coffee?" And I don't know this. What's the difference between organic coffee and just regular coffee beans? And he goes, "Because they use pesticides and all this other shit on the coffee bean because it's so vulnerable. And if you get organic, less of that shit's tainting the flavor, and actually you're getting the actual bean itself, more of it, more or less, right?" Huh. And I go, "Oh, it makes sense." If you look at it, places you get hops to brew beer, you got to make sure what hops you're getting could. In essence, ruin or make the beer.
Yeah.
And I mean, I talked to Derek all the time about what hops he's using or he's going for. And he's doing this, you know, these different hops because they're taken care of this certain way. And he said he'll pay an extra couple of bucks for quality because it will make the beer last longer, beers, taste more fresh and how he wants it. And it goes back to that kind of thing. People know that.
Right. Goes back to like craftsmen.
Yeah.
Really, really putting an effort to make sure their craft is good.
And I think quality beats quantity every time. I think when it comes to that kind of detail.
Yeah.
For sure. Right?
Yeah.
But Milkshake Pale Ale.
Did you, is it, as crushable as you thought it would be. I thought I saw pina colada and I was like, this is going to be.
I thought it would be more crushable.
So crushable.
So when I saw the pina colada, I'm like, think about pina coladas in general. 9-10, just I'm slurping them down, right?
Oh, dude, they are crushable.
I enjoyed this one.
Big straw.
Right, absolutely. This one I would put higher than you think, but 7.98.
See, as far as crushability goes, I was thinking like 6 or 7. Because it's not like super crushable, but also the more I drank it, the more I was like, yeah, I could drink
it. It's that, because that pineapple and that lactose and the creaminess, like that made it almost, because when you first drink it, you're like, oh, I can't crush this. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Right? But then it grows on you.
Yeah. I've noticed like, I've noticed this bartending a lot as well, is like the size of sip that you take matters, and taking more than one sip matters.
Mm-hmm.
At least for us novice, I don't know about like experts who like maybe they can try a wine they've never tasted before and first sip know everything about it. For me, I'm like, first sip is like introductory, and then I need a few more to really get to know the
beer. I'm with you on that,
because
one.
I think beers, a lot of beers, like first sip I'll be like, I don't know, or ooh, this is great, and the further I get into them, my opinion might change or it might be solidified. But like with this one, the first sip, I was like, I don't know. It's weird. The second sip, I was like, okay, I can kind of see it. And then like third sip, I was like, okay, yeah, I could crush this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it took. I'm with you on that one. And
I think it tickles you. For me, it got my, in a weird way, my palate warmed up.
Yeah.
It kind of like, you know how you got to prime, like a lawnmower, you got to prime it a little bit before you start it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you and I are in the same boat. Yeah. With our palate, we need to kind of prime it a little bit, because that bitterness, you first throw on your tongue, especially because we record in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing we taste is like bitterness, like, whoa.
Kind of brush your teeth and then drink some pina colada beer.
You're right. And so it's kind of breaks down and like, okay, now I can kind of get used to it, and now I can kind of see where the spirit is going, because like now take me on the adventure. You give me the path. Yeah. Now I'm going to go down this path with you.
Yeah I like that a lot. Yeah, like you've got to take a couple steps and like kind of test the waters.
Yeah,
but then
you know it's gonna be an uphill battle or a downhill battle, or
yeah. So with that being said, I think that most breweries provide like 2 ounce tasters. I think we should provide like 6 ounce tasters minimum, because then you can have a couple of sips and then you can like take, you know, a drop. It's like the sips prime your palate and then you take an actual drink, because like so many people will get up on a beer that they've never tried. I have this happen with a lot of people. Like one of my favorite things at the bar is people come in and be like, Bud Light and I drink coffee black, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, well, you like black coffee. I've got an Irish dry stout that tastes like cold brew black coffee and dark chocolate. It's fucking delicious. And so I'll just put it in front of them and be like, here, try this. It kind of tastes like coffee. And they'll take a sip and be like, this is disgusting. I'm like, tastes just like coffee. You just have to give it a second. I was like, trust me, it tastes better if you actually drink some of it. And so I'll usually try to give them like a fuller taster so that they can drink some and then drink some more. And after they get that second sip, they're like, yeah, you know what? I'll have a pint of that.
I don't like when people throw it back, like a shot.
Yeah,
you need to taste, like, when you get a bunch of whiskeys and you're tasting whiskeys, a flight in front of you.
Oh,
you
don't just shots back.
You don't sit there and just, like, throw them each back. No, you have to taste them.
Yeah, you have to have enough so you don't need a lot. But you have to have enough that you can have, like, a sip and then a drop. That's I think, at least for me, because I'm not a super experienced taster. Like, I'm very much a novice still. I want a sip to like prime my palate and then a drop, like a full, like not like chugging the beer, but like I want a good amount in my mouth.
Right. It makes sense to me. No, it makes sense. Cause it primes your palate. You mm-hmm. got to be able to excite it, tell it what's going on, and then go from there. And then
exactly. There's
also palate wreckers. You can try a beer that's hella hoppy or very dark, and it's just going to ruin. Like, I mean, whenever we taste beers, we always look at the least wreck, like we call it palate wrecking. You know, what it was going to wreck our palate the least, we'll try that one, and then we work our way up, because it can ruin.
Yeah.
You know, and we've done that before.
Yeah, we definitely have. I mean, we always try to go light to dark, and like, if you have a beer that's more hoppy, you drink that one after the one that's less hoppy.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. If you have a beer that's like a stout, you're going to drink that after the brown, and you're going to drink the brown after the amber, and you're going to drink the amber after, you know, whatever pale ale.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're fucked. If you drink the stout first, you know what you're going to taste for the rest of the beers? You're going to taste stout.
Yeah, and ruin the experience for you.
Yeah. We've done that a few times because we're like, oh, we'll just throw this one. It looks light in there. And yeah. Then it just fucks us up.
Come to find out, it didn't go the way it planned. But it's still the learning experience, and we're getting better and better, I feel like, when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But you went to this milkshake. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I think hoppy friends would love it too.
Yeah, I think so. I think hoppy friends, I think people who are looking for, you know, like a crushable beer, I think this is a great springtime, like mid spring and mid fall beer. Like cooler, a little cooler.
Fall beer for sure.
Like pina colada, yeah. I'm like, I want it to be hot and I'm going to.
You're on the beach.
Crush this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is still pina colada, so it's still got to be hot, but maybe not 90s hot, maybe like 70s, 80s hot. And then maybe drink this one a little bit slower than you would a regular pina colada.
Yeah, but I think like Chandler and Grayson, I think they'd like this a lot.
I think they would. It's a tasty beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good job. You went to, again, fuck. We try a lot of Uinta beers, but like we were saying,
we do.
They know what they're doing, and I think they do a great job of just being
Not
over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I think they're a great standard. And there are some breweries, I think, that are better than them in Utah and some that are worse. But I think it's a good standard. Like, they've got some classic styles. They experiment a little bit. I like them. They're really good.
And we love reading the bottles because it tells you how much malt and hops and body and color. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah, every beer should do that.
The compass on the bottle, like, badass. Can't go wrong with Uinta beer, usually. Anything else you got for us, Wyatt, on that one?
Dude, I think I'm good today. Thank you for teaching me about pale ales today.
Oh, I've been reading about it. And like I said, we're going to try to do more in-depth. It's not just us tasting beers and talking about what we're tasting. We're trying to get more like with the whys. And I want to figure out the whys. And when I heard the experimental hop HBC 962 or 692 in this beer, I'm like, I got to know what that's all about. And that's interesting to me.
Yeah. Dude, the whys are super important. And I would just put it out there to like whoever listens to this. Like if you have – like a why a beer tastes away, you know, like we're trying to learn here. Like we set this up so that we could taste beer and learn about beer. And then hopefully as we learn and taste beers, other people can see the beers that we're trying and maybe get an idea to try some new beers. Right. And maybe they can try to taste their own beers and find some stuff. So like we set this up to learn, but so that we could learn with, you know, whoever might be listening.
Yeah.
And like, if you're listening to this and you think, you know what you're talking about, for the love of God, please get in contact with us and teach us, because we're here to learn.
Facebook, learn. Instagram, Twitter,
DM
us, reach out to us, go to our website, email us. We have a bunch of people emailing us questions, things we're doing wrong or right. We've been getting that, and we appreciate the feedback, all of it.
We really do. All of it. Reviews on iTunes, all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we read all the stuff.
Yeah. We do. Trust us.
Yeah.
But
we read it and then we talk about it after.
Yeah. And then we're like, okay, yeah, we can fix that. Or like,
like, we appreciate this.
Absolutely.
Feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's it for this episode. Again, Uinta's Milkshake Pale Ale. If you get a chance, try it out. If you like pineapple, for sure. Until the next beverage, bro.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of The Taste Masters. Like us, follow us, share us, tell your friends. Next time you have a drink, tell us about it. Drink it, you know, let us know what it tastes like. Tell us if we should try something new. You can find us at tastemastersdrink.com. You can also find us on Instagram at @the_tastemasters or on Facebook. We are The Taste Masters. Thanks for listening again.